You're listening to the Hope Community Church Podcast. Our prayer for you is that as you listen, you'll be engaged, encouraged, and expectant for all that God wants to accomplish in your heart and in your life. If you enjoy this podcast, please share it with friends and family so that the gospel message may continue to go out to the ends of the earth. Thank you for joining us.
Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:28. And 2 Thessalonians 3:18, these are together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And then the next verse says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. We put those two together through this series, so you'll know it's the grace we have is from the works of Christ. It's all through Him. Let's bow before the Father. Would you tell the Father that you love Him today from your heart to His heart? And you hear from us. We've given praise. We continue to give praise. And then let's move to being thankful, grateful. Who He is, what He does, what He reveals, how He leads us through. We pray for others. Others are grieving. Some of them have a seasonal illness. Yours truly will fall in that line. Some are diagnosed with disease. Some are dealing with spiritual direction. Where do they go? What do they do? Some are dealing with the emotional woundedness, the weight that they carry. Some need Christian friends. Some need financial steps of freedom. If you know people who fit those categories, pray for them, lift them up to our Heavenly Father. Always we pray for the nations, always we're called to the nations. Continue to pray for peace in our world. Don't give up. Don't be disheartened. Continue to pray. Be desperate for it. Pray in desperation. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're mandated by Scripture to be obedient to that. Pray for our nation, the peace of our nation, unrest, that our hearts would turn back to the Lord again. Pray for the awakenings. There have been several in our nation. And the prayer of Cane Ridge over in Bourbon County, the prayer is now still there. Lord, do it again. Bring it again. Take a moment and pray a blessing over those who are around you, your family, wherever they may be. Pray over our offering that's been given today, also through the week. We exist to present the gospel every day here and throughout the world. God has connected us with places throughout the world and throughout our nation. Ask the Lord to bless it. And then remember always there's a greater offering here than your money, and that's you. And we say in the words of Isaiah, Lord, here am I, send me, send us, use us. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. You look at all of us today, Lord, but you see me differently. You look at me separately. I'm your teacher and your preacher. On me is a greater, more strict judgment. I know that. Every time I preach and teach, I know that. And I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. Good to see you. You can be seated. Yeah, since you missed an hour of sleep, maybe we'll just let you be blessed of a nap during the sermon, okay? Yeah, to help you out. When we deal with these verses that we began with in Thessalonians, you're going, what does the grace of God have to do with Easter? What does it have to do with a season that we spend focusing on generosity and prayer and devotion and fasting? What does it have to do with it all? Well, it's the work of Christ. It's always pointed around the cross and resurrection. And we're going to handle that even today. Today we're going to be handling a big church word that you don't use in your everyday language. Excuse me. nor do I really think you should. You will find it in a smaller version, the word justification, but you'll find justified in Scripture. And we're going to be handling that today. Next Sunday, we're going to be handling sanctification. Next Sunday, glorification. We'll put that on the screen for you in just a minute. But today, we're going to handle this. These are three steps that happen at a time when you are being saved and you're living your life. These three stages are occurring in your life. And we need to see how they work separately and how they work together. We're going to go back to last Sunday in Ephesians 2:5. We just handled the process of grace and salvation and what happens there. But in Ephesians 2:5, he said he made us alive with Christ, Messiah Christ. Even though we were dead in trespasses, you were saved by grace. Then we went a little deeper last Sunday. We went to Ephesians 2:8 and 9. And we showed you a little bit of the stepping sequence here, that you are saved by grace through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is God's gift. He reminds us again in verse 9, it's not of your works so that you can boast. It's all the work of Christ. But if you go back to verse 8, and we'll look at that for just a moment, it is grace, and grace is revealed. We'll talk about that in a second. Then it leads to salvation. Then it leads to faith. Let me give you a picture of this in a greater way, in a process. God reveals to us his grace. I remember when he revealed it to me. I remember exactly and how he revealed it to me. And not only did he reveal his grace, he revealed how he can rescue me. The same of how he can save me, and that I needed saving, that I needed it. It's not that it's just like, oh, well, there's the rescue. Well, I became aware that I needed rescuing and that my only hope was in him. And then that led to a step of faith. And in that step of faith, it is that I have this trusting confidence that he can save me. I also was realizing that I needed saving. I think a lot of people are at a point where they don't think they need it. We handled this last Sunday. We get to a point of self-sufficiency. And we don't think we need rescue. And we all need rescue. And that became obvious to me that I needed rescue in my life. And it also became obvious that Christ is the only one that could do it. And it also became obvious that through his grace, he was offering that rescue. And we handled it one of our Wednesday nights here recently, our very first one together. And we just said what happens when grace is revealed is we get an opportunity to switch masters. And that really was, it's still teaching me today that just switching masters picture helps me, because my old master was the world. My old master was sin. My old master was Satan. My old master was demons. Those were my old masters. And then he offered me a new master that could take away all those, take away my sin and bring rescue to me. And it just becomes a beautiful picture. So we get to this through faith part. Like, does something happen here? Yeah. It's called justification. Something happens when you and I get to the faith part. And that's what we're going to break down today, is what actually happens. That he's offering his grace. I need his salvation. And then I'm responding to that. And so what happens? What does this faith do? Well, this faith makes me see that God has revealed this to me, that God provides it to me, that I need it, and I can't get it anywhere else. And so there's this trusting confidence in what he can do. And it's all based on the work of Christ, not me and you, not perfect attendance. It's not perfect attendance. It's not good works. It's not any of those things. It's all dependent on the work of Christ in my life. So at this point of faith, justification happens. Over the next three Sundays, we're going to be studying these steps. And I don't know. I can't see behind me, Travis, if you put it on there or not. But today we're handling justification. So then the next step that we're going to be handling is sanctification. That's next Sunday. And then the third one, a couple Sundays away, we're going to be handling glorification. And then we walk into Holy Week with Palm Sunday and then Easter. But the picture is these three stages are happening in your life. And I told you we're going back to just simple basics. You need to know this. You need to know which stage you're in, what's going on there. So the justification part is Romans 5, 1 and 2 is where we're going to start today. And it says, therefore, since we have been declared righteous, and being declared righteous is the same thing as justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, we have also obtained access through him by faith, and here's the line, into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. Romans 3, 20 verses through 24, same thing. I just want you to see it. For no one will be justified in his sight by works. You're going to hit that over and over and over again. No one will be justified in his sight by the works of the law, because the knowledge of sin comes through the law. The only thing the law did is make me see it listed and went, okay, I've done that. It just made me recognize that what is going on in my life is sin. Verse 21, but now, we got a different story. Apart from the law, God's righteousness or justification has been revealed, attested by the law and the prophets, verse 22, that is God's righteousness, that's justification, through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe, since there is no distinction. Verse 23, all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Verse 24, they are justified freely by his grace. So he reveals his grace to us that we're undeserving, and he's pursuing us. And then it leads to salvation, and then it leads to a sustaining faith. They are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Excuse me. So I wanted you to see that. It's not a set of rules that we keep. We can all think that way, even though the Christian life does give us principles to live by. It's more than policy. It's more than a duty. It's the work of Christ. So this word justification is a legal term, if you want to get a bigger picture of it. It's a courtroom term, often written about as a forensic term. And it has a courtroom picture to it. You're before a judge. And all the evidence, this is the forensic part of it. All the evidence is against you. It's all against you. It's there. You're guilty by the evidence. And there's this sentencing stage that happens. You're not only guilty, it's all against you. The evidence is there. You're being sentenced, and it leads to the execution. This is the picture. You're done for. It's over. So justification is the picture that the judge looks at you, and he reveals his grace to you. Yes. He rescues you, yes. Brings salvation and faith that he can and he will, and a judge can and they do. But they declare you not guilty when all the evidence is against you. You are declared not guilty. The evidence is clear. It is there. But the judge says you're pardoned. You are pardoned. Now, what am I pardoned from? Because that's the questions I ask in Scripture. I'm pardoned from sin. I'm pardoned from death. I'm pardoned from death. I'm pardoned from hell. I'm pardoned from all that. I don't know about you all. It's kind of like if you're trying to buy a vehicle that you see that vehicle everywhere. You know, if you're looking and you're studying it, you know, what do I need to? Do I not need to? And then you're like, that vehicle's everywhere. You know, you, down the road, you just notice it. I don't know if I'm getting older, but all there's more stuff on the radio about death and dying. You know, I mean, as I'm getting older, like, have you done this? Do you have this in order? You know, it just goes on and on and on and on. You know, and I'm going, man, I need looking at, you know. And they're like, well, people just go on and don't pay attention to this. And I go, well, is that me? You know, but as I get older, all I keep hearing about is death and dying. When the picture of this, yes, I'm going to die one day. But the point is, death will not be my captive. And death will not be my master. He has acquitted us of all these things. And so this is what happens when you step into a faith with Christ. When you step into a saving faith in Christ, He declares you at that moment not guilty. It happens right then. It's a moment that becomes instantaneous. You're with His Son, and His Son pays your penalty for you, pays death for you, and then you are declared not guilty. That's why it's the works of Christ over and over and over. But it's this not guilty verdict is based on a past event, not in my life, but in His life. It is the cross. Listen, I don't care what age you are, but if you want to go forward, you're going to have to step backward. You know, you've got to go back to the cross, and we're going to end with that today. You don't go anywhere that the Father offers you without going the way of the cross. Yes. Nothing. Yes. Nothing. You get nothing. Not from works. So, yes, I'm before the judge. All the evidence is against me. I'm going through the sentencing phase and the execution phase. And the judge sees that what Christ has done for me, and then he sees that my faith is in Christ, that trusting confidence. And when that happens, justification has taken place, and you are declared not guilty in His sight. That it just becomes absolutely an acquittal on that, and it's based on a one-time act, but it's past tense. We got to go back to the cross to acknowledge all this, that I'm not guilty, I'm pardoned, I'm righteous. If you see any of those words in there, it all has to do with justification, and that I'm in the right standing of God. That's where I am. Now let's look at Romans 8, 1 and 2. We handled this a little bit on one of our Wednesday nights. Excuse me. Therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus. Okay, just leave it back at 1. Therefore, no condemnation now exists. None. None. I mean, it's over. The records are there, not there, you know. It's gone. Look at verse 2. Because the Spirit's law of life, the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus, has set you free from the law of sin and death. So whenever I'm standing before that judge and all the evidence is against me, I'm guilty. And then there's this sentencing phase and then the execution phase. Jesus says, I'm here to rescue you. And I put my trusting confidence, my faith that He can do it and that I need it. That very moment, okay, it's not later on. When I was at UPS, I hired and fired. And we had probationary periods that people worked. We would hire you and you had a probationary period where you had to show you stuff. You know, if you didn't get it, you went on your way. It's not the way it is with the Lord. It's not the way it is with him. That at that moment, he declares you not guilty. And then there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We brought this up the other Wednesday night. Some people go, well, I'm afraid of Christ. Well, then if you're afraid of Christ, then we have a problem. Okay. Now, do I need to be in awe and respect of him? Absolutely. Do I need to be afraid of him to where I run from him? Absolutely not. So people are like, well, I'm afraid of the judgment. Well, if you are, then we need to chat. Because there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. No condemnation there. And it doesn't, it doesn't exist. Why? Because of justification. Look at Galatians 2, 16 through 20 for just a moment. Know that no one is justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And when that happens, then we are declared not guilty. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be justified, there's that, not guilty, by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no human being will be justified. It only makes me aware of it. Verse 17, but if we ourselves are also found to be sinners, while seeking to be justified by Christ, is Christ then a promoter of sin? Like, does this grace give me a license to sin? No, certainly not. Absolutely not, he writes. Verse 18, if I rebuild the system I tore down, I show myself to be a lawbreaker. And how do I do that anyway? How do I rebuild a life that I've destroyed? How can I do that? Verse 19, for through the law I have died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ. Okay? So no matter what age I am, I'm going to go back to the cross. Because my way forward with the Father is to only go back to the cross. For though through the law I have died to the law so that I might live for God, I've been crucified with Christ. Verse 20. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith. And at that moment of faith is a not guilty verdict. Okay? I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. It's all the work of Christ. And this happens at that moment of faith. I'm going to repeat that several times today. When grace is revealed and salvation is given, then this trusting confidence of faith, when that happens, I'm declared not guilty. Please know the opposite of being justified is to be guilty. Okay, it is to remain in your sin. There's no right standing there. It also produces a new life. It also produces a new direction. It also produces a change of direction, which we call repentance. Look at Romans 6, 1 through 4 for just a moment. This is about the new life that he gives us. What should we say then? Should we continue in sin so that grace can multiply? Absolutely not. It's not a license to do what you want. How can we who died to sin still live in it? How can you do that? Or are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Verse 4, therefore we were buried with him by baptism in death. That's why baptism is so hugely important. It's not just this church step you take. It's I'm identifying with him. I'm identifying with his death and his burial. And when we come up out of that water, I'm identifying with his resurrection. It's really a testimony, and we say that here, without saying a word of what I have done and he has done in my life. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in a new way of life. You'll ask the question. I've asked it. You've asked it all through our life. And you're going, well, I thought they gave their life to the Lord. If they're not walking in newness of life, it makes me wonder if justification has ever happened in their life. We've bought into a system and culture, and I can only speak of mine, that I hear an invitation at the end of the service. I come down, I shake the pastor's hand, I'm presented to the church, I get the right hand into church fellowship, those kind of things, and then that makes a person okay. And then most people don't go past that. Most people's idea of following Christ is just become a member of a church. And they've never been justified. They've never realized they've needed saving anyway. I've met those people, haven't you? I've met them. It becomes very clear to me they don't think they need rescuing, that they can fix it by themselves. And I have to let them go. I mean, there's only so much I can do. I can't do the rescuing. I can't do the saving. I can't do the convicting. Only the Holy Spirit of God can do that. But there is a newness. When you step, when grace is revealed, you know you need to be saved and that He can save you. And then you have that trusting confidence, which is faith, and you put it in Him. At that very moment, you're declared not guilty. But also at that very moment, you change direction. You change direction. It's a 180. I'm no longer running away from Him. I'm running to Him. You're saying, hey, preacher, is there no temptation? There'll always be temptation as long as you are alive. That's why death is gain to us, because one day we'll be in heaven and there'll no longer be any temptation. It'll be gone from us. But until that day, which is really called glorification, we'll get to that later. But until that day, you and I will be tempted of sin and by sin. And God gives us strength and rescue to identify that temptation and then to flee it. He does give you that power. But you got to walk in it. You got to live in it. It doesn't mean that sin won't leave you alone. It may bug the dickens out of you until you go to glory, you know. But you're able to see it and identify it and know how to have the power against it. And there, it just becomes a new way. There's a newness of life that this justification gives to us. So this faith, what happens at this faith is I'm declared not guilty. It becomes a turning point of my life. That we no longer rejoice in the sinful activity. No longer. We understand the conviction of what the Holy Spirit does, and then we respond to that. But this it's this transformative action of my life that I have the confidence to follow Him. Look at Galatians 6:14. In Galatians 6:14, Paul says, but as for me, I will never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for Paul to go forward, he had to go back. Okay? He says, I've crucified myself and my life with Christ. And the world has been crucified to me through the cross. And then hang on, I have been crucified to the world. Do you see the switching of the masters there? I hope you just see that in the verse. That the world has been crucified to me, and I have been crucified to the world is what takes place. And that's what happens. You know, in my little mind, when I surrendered my life to the Lord, I did all that I knew I needed to do. But in that picture, I started growing. When you get to this point of justification, are you going to know everything? No, you're not going to know everything. It's not going to be this automatic academic life and intellectual life and everything. No, you're going to have to get into His Word, and you're going to have to learn to live by the Spirit. And man, there's times you're just going to stump your toe, you know. That's all part of it. That's all. You're, as Paul would say, you're an infant and you're on milk. Later on, you'll be on meat. You know, later on, you'll mature to that. But this is where we all get to, and this is where we all start. We have the grace of God that's revealed to us, and not only is it revealed to us, It's our rescue. And then we have this trusting confidence of faith. And at that moment, when our faith and trust is put in Christ, then you and I are declared not guilty, okay? And so some of you may just be at this stage in your life. It just must be where you are. Well, it's good. You need to be there. That's where we begin and where we start and what we do. And then later on in the other Sundays, we'll learn how we move to those others. But let's rejoice that our faith and trust in Christ has rendered us not guilty. No condemnation, acquittal, pardoned. All those things have happened to us, and that can only come through the person of Jesus Christ, okay? Let's learn that today. Let's pray together. Father, I pray over our people today, even over your word today, Lord, where we've looked and we've seen that how you justify us, you pardon us. And I just want to thank you. A greater picture that I have from your word is that I was your enemy and you adopted me as a son. And I can't thank you enough for pursuing me, us, into your family, the family of God. I just want to thank you for Jesus. And I want to thank you for his works. I want to thank you for the pain that he endured. I want to thank you for the penalty that he paid. I want to thank you that he left the comforts of heaven to come to the sin sickness of this world to rescue us. And today we declare him our rescuer. He's our Hosanna. He came to save. Thank you for loving us enough that you sent your son, heaven's best, to come and to bring a not guilty verdict to the worst of us. We say thank you. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. We pray together. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. You may want to be prayed for, prayed with, or prayed over. We give you that opportunity. Church, would you stand with me? Counselors, would you find your place? The team's going to lead us. You respond.